Ghostly Talk!
Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Warren Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on October 15th, 2006. I am Doug.
I am Scott Hill.
And I'm Donnie.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to our website at www.ghostlytalk.com. It is Ghost Month here on Ghostly Talk. Brad Duplashane is on the line as we speak for makes sense English-wise. Brad Duplashane is on the line, and we will be speaking with him from Louisiana Spirit. We will then be joined by our dear, dear friends, Nicole Leader and Kevin Cogdell from GI, Colorado, and Area Paranormal. And then to round things off, we will be joined by Elisha from the American Association of Paranormal Investigators.
Listen too loudly.
All right.
Fancy schmancy.
How about them Tigers, huh?
Them Tigers, they is going to the World Series.
That's
English for you.
I can't believe it.
I'm in shock. First time in 13 years, I got two phone calls when it happened.
Well, it's actually funny, because I was talking to my boss last night from my second job.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in the nightclub, right? And as I'm talking to him, we're, like, talking business and stuff, and all of a sudden I hear just, like, I'm like, so, yeah, we'll take care of that. Yeah, we'll take care of that tomorrow, whatever you want to do, you know. And all of a sudden I hear just, I thought my phone went dead or something, right? So he's like, dude, the Tiger, they just won. So they're going to the World Series now, our Detroit Tigers. Congratulations to those guys. We just have to say that because we're local. If we weren't local, I don't think we'd care.
I don't care anyway. We would not have been affected by it at all, but we were affected by it last night. So
this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we have, like Doug said a few minutes ago, it is Ghost Month, and we have a full show tonight.
It's a full show?
Back to the gills.
And I like this kind of thing. This is where we get to talk to ghost hunters the country.
Oh, yeah.
And find out what's going on.
It's been a great month so far. We've had so much fun. And we've had all kinds of other stuff going on this month, obviously,
right.
too.
Speaking of other stuff, is there a show tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, 8 p.m., Brian Jones is coming back. Boy, has there been some discussion about this.
Yes, we have an unscheduled show. I cannot wait to talk about it and get all of my thoughts down in audio format.
Well, the reason we're doing this, because there was a lot of confusion, actually, about, well, they're just so jazzed and freaked out about this, they had to just have them come back on again. I'm like, well, no, actually, the real reason is because we had all these problems. It was, like I've been telling people all week, the show kind of turned, it went from a show
To an experiment.
Yeah. And poor Brian didn't get to talk about 80% of the things that he wanted to discuss. It just didn't happen. Thankfully, he was flexible enough to just go with it with us. And as researchers and broadcasters,
right. So tomorrow night, 8 p.m.
Eastern
time.
Eastern time.
Same bat time, same bat channel. Be here.
Oh, my.
Right now.
You missed it, Bonnie.
Right now. I do want to introduce Brad Duplashane, who is the founder of Louisiana Spirits Paranormal Investigation.
Oh, yeah.
Along with his co-founders, Todd Weaver, Brandon Thomas, and Mark Moore, mm-hmm. he leads the group in conducting scientific and analytical investigations of any and all locations in and around Louisiana containing suspected paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. Their website is www.laspirits.com. Brad, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me here.
Oh, you know, we've been talking. I gotta say before we even get rolling on this, because I have a feeling this is gonna be a wild hour for us. Doug and I have been, Louisiana. Aside from a lot of the obvious stuff that's going on presently, Louisiana has just been for ghost hunters, for paranormal researchers and people of that sort. Louisiana, it more or less is the hotbed. I mean, it's a place you have to go. It's kind of like Gettysburg. You have to go there if you call yourself a paranormal investigator.
Well, I haven't been there yet.
Well, no,
and I call myself a paranormal investigator. So that's
somewhere we've been talking about nonstop.
It mean? It means I've still got to get down there, Brad.
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely a hotbed out the country as far as activity. We definitely don't run out of medium, so to speak. We have quite a bit of places at our disposal.
And we're going to probably talk about some of those places tonight, too, if you'd let us do that.
Sure.
First of all, what I'd like to get into, though, I mean, Louisiana Spirits is, if from what I understand, and I've done the research, they're probably the only, how would you say, the biggest group in Louisiana as far as your coverage and the work you guys do. You guys are probably the mecca group in Louisiana. Am I correct?
Yeah, I would agree. We definitely the most structured. We were, most of us were part of a former group in southern Louisiana that's no longer around, and when we separated from them, we just set this up. So we already had the structure and the goal and the mindset already. So we just kept running with what we were doing, just under a different name. And yeah, I think we are the only group that covers the entire state. And by far, I think we're the most equipped group, technical-wise.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say equipped. What kind of stuff are you guys using these days?
We run everything from a simple voice recorder. We have three separate DVR systems with infrared cameras. We have a total of 16 infrared cameras that run into three separate DVRs.
Wow.
While we can just, if we have a small home, we only bring one. Sometimes we have big areas like the Shreveport Auditorium that we just finished doing this weekend. We bring all 16, and I mean, we can cover a lot with that.
Now, I've heard of the Shreveport Auditorium also. How long do you guys do an investigation of this weekend?
Well, we originally did one several months ago, and this was before anyone knew of activity there. They knew that there was a morgue downstairs, so it was such an interesting place. We said, well, let's at least just try it out. Who knows? So we got a little attention over just because no one had ever mentioned, you know, the word ghost and auditorium in the same sentence. So we checked it out and actually came out with some excellent EVPs.
Mm-hmm.
I'd sent you some if you'll play them later on.
Oh, yeah. Whenever you want to play them, just let me know. We'll play them for you.
Okay, and we came out with that, and then from then on it drew everyone's curiosity. We just kind of rolled with it. So we decided, since everyone was so interested in it and wanted to kind of get a peek at the place, this past Friday we held a seminar for about 60, 65 people where we gave a little brief one-hour seminar, kind of who we are, what we do, kind of the nomenclature and the Ghost 101, so to speak.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And once we were done with that, we broke everyone up into little groups of 10 or so, and we took everyone out and went lights out and had the daunting task of corralling 60 people through a dark auditorium and let them investigate it.
Well, you know, we've done... go ahead.
They seem to love it.
Well, yeah, we did something similar to that. It wasn't us doing it, but our friends here, our local group here, actually about a mile away from us, as a matter of fact, the Haunted Manor here, a group called Brimstone, this time last year, as a matter of fact, Halloween, they did the same type of thing at a place called the Fenton Hotel in Fenton, Michigan here, where they invited a group of people out, and they basically gave them a crash course, you'd say, in ghost hunting overnight. But those things are really great. I think, you know, a lot of groups are doing that same sort of thing, Brad, which I think is wonderful because, 5 years ago, A, they didn't have it 5 years ago, which would have been very nice to have something like that. B, it's a good way to see if it's something you really want to do or not.
Right. And they're good to have, but the downside of them is a lot of the people you do have attend, they're there just with the hopes and the expectations of seeing a ghost. Well, they'll show up. They really don't care to hear your seminar. They want you to get over with that and boom, they want to get into the investigation. Then 5 minutes into it, they're like, come on, let's see something. And
yeah.
That's what we try to get these people to realize, that 90% of the time, ghost hunting is like watching paint dry, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, that is the downside. You usually, and I say usually, I stress the word usually, you do get... You have the people there that, like you just said, they have these expectations of skulls coming out of walls. They want they think that something definitely ridiculous is going to happen to them. And then when it doesn't happen, which 9 times out of 10 it doesn't, they try to do things to make things happen. For example, last year we had kids, and actually Amber has it all on audio of how angry I was. If you guys, I don't know if you guys remember that or not. These kids were walking around scaring people.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, when you've been doing this for a couple of years, I've learned that my senses are a little bit more rounded off now, where I don't get scared as easy. So these kids jumped out at me, and I just kind of stood there like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It didn't faze me at all, right?
Well, someone else would have been changing their pants.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not saying that I don't get scared, but that's like something that I noticed. That
right, you're more used to it,
yeah. Yeah, where they thought they were just going to scare it, like you just said, that, you know, I was going to have to change my pants. I'm like, you kids are stupid. Get away from me before I throw you off the ledge. Get out of here. But no, yeah, well, go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, we had one investigation like that where I don't know if the homeowner actually felt something was in the home, but there's 16-year-old still undecided. I guess he was going to try to speed things up a bit. And we noticed on our DVR system one of the screens, a door had opened. So we played it back right there, and sure enough, you see the door open, but you also see the idiot running behind the door as he pushed and ran. I guess he figured their infrared cameras yet they don't see in the dark yet. They could see in total darkness. So you see, sure enough, the door open, and this guy just running past it. He wasn't even smart enough to at least push it and run opposite from the door.
Well, you'd think maybe if he's trying to pull a hoax off like that he would, you know, well, if I run in front of the door, they might see me. Even in the dark, you might see somebody walking. That isn't the smartest thing in the world to do, I don't think.
I mean, I would have pushed it and then ran opposite around.
But it is, like I said, those type of seminar things are very cool for ghost hunters. People that are learning, because instead of going out, and I've seen people do this before, they get really excited about this thing. They go out to, like, their local BB and buy, like, a $1,200 Rebel camera. They buy, like a $300 digital recorder. They buy all the software, everything like that. They go out one time with us or something like that and realize, well, they go out with us and see what it's really like. And they go, well, aren't we going to have, like, ghosts come after us? I'm like, no,
right.
we're going to stand on this bridge and freeze to death for about 4 hours.
And then we're going to go home and go over those 4 hours several times.
Yeah, exactly. So
we're going to spend 16 hours going over 4 hours, so it'll be a total of 20 hours of your life, and perhaps we'll find nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think they're expecting it to be like those hunting and fishing trips where you pay a set fee and they catch the fish for you, you know?
Right.
Like you're guaranteed to have something corralled in a pen. I mean, if we had that, I mean, we could make a killing, of course.
Well, yeah, this isn't Bassmasters. You're not
right.
going to have
no. I mean, I've seen the show. Scuba suit, like, hooking a fish to the line. Yeah.
I've seen the show. I mean, they catch. I've never seen fishermen catch fish like that before.
They don't.
I go out
right.
there.
They don't show true fishing where your line breaks or you get tangled up in trees.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are in Louisiana, so you know there's a lot of fishing down there also. Same thing applies.
You could sit there all day and get, like, one.
I think fishing is
throwing it back because it's not the right one.
Yeah,
I still think
fishing is bigger than the fish.
Right, exactly.
Fishing is more relaxing than ghost hunting. Well, I don't know. That's a tough call, though.
Ghost hunting is pretty relaxing. It just happens more at night.
Well, I've never fished in my life to, like, I'm going to go out and catch the biggest fish anyone's ever seen, and I'm going to get the world's record. And I've never fished for that. Usually it's me and my dad going out going, okay, let's go out here and complain about work for 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
And get
right.
it off our chest. It's more of just a chill-out thing, like blow off some steam. Whereas ghost hunting, it's like, I don't even know what that's like anymore. I've been doing it so long, I have no idea.
We don't do it much.
Well, yeah.
I've been out and about.
Doug's been out and about.
I got the whatever sign.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
That's the whatever sign.
That's the whatever. Yeah.
No way. They have a sign for it now.
Yeah.
No
way.
This is like a diva gang sign here. Brad, are you aware of this? That if you take your,
if you make two L's with your index
and you put your thumbs together, yeah,
you put the points of your thumb together and point them up somewhat. That's the whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
And that's the universal diva sign, not to be confused.
We need to get a photo of that.
Yeah,
and put it. It will be like official Detroit gangsta signs. You know,
for divas
or diva signs.
I am not a diva.
Whatever.
Sorry, Brad.
The ghost diva.
Brad.
I can't go to SeaWorld doing that because I think that's the hand sign for Shamu, I believe.
Giant black and
white fish comes
out
and swallows your head.
Yeah, he wants a carp or something and you don't have one. So he takes your arm. Yeah.
Shreveport Theater, you said you guys were there this past weekend, correct?
You're right.
And you said you had the seminar, you had 60 people there. Were there any type of experiences? Did anything of note happen this weekend?
We had a little bit of questionable stuff. We had a few knocks and bangs here and there, but it's with 60 plus people in a building, it's so hard to get the quiet you need, get the pinpoint where everyone is. So some people may have said, yeah, the knocks and all could have been something.
Mm-hmm.
We had one member present some scratch marks to us on her back. We're still kind of looking into that right now to its validity.
Scratch marks, huh?
Yeah.
You said scratch marks. And this is like you just said, too, with that many people in a building,
it's kind of hard
to get that. You guys, the last time you guys were there, though, was it more of a private investigation?
Oh, definitely. It was unfortunately, I didn't make the first investigation. I believe there was maybe a group of seven of us that attended that one.
Well, the EVPs you gave us, I don't know if I got this correctly. Were those, these were from the street or they're not from the street?
Some of them were. The best one that I sent you was the one titled Johnny Cash.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was taken, there's tons of dressing rooms in this building, but one in particular was Elvis Presley's dressing room.
Mm.
And we were doing EVP work in that room, and
uh-huh.
got a very clear EVP with only two members, a male and a female, in that room, and you can hear them talking. And in addition, you hear this third voice come up and say, I love Johnny Cash.
Well, let's
yeah, to yeah. I got it queued up here, Brad. You want to listen to it, Brad?
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
Since we're talking about it, we might as well.
Uh-huh.
No, let's talk about it and then play it in the last half hour when you guys are done being Elvis.
Well, he's mentioned Elvis. This is called a segue.
So that means that you instantly have to go into goofball mode and imitate Elvis? Come on, raise the lip.
Oh, just play the clip.
All right, okay. Here we go. This is the one entitled Johnny Cash that you sent over to us, Brad. Let's give this thing a listen. I got him. Yeah, let's bring the audio up here. And I got you. And so you should be able to hear this also, Brad. Here we go.
Okay.
It's towards the end.
No, I think that was in the middle. So play it again.
Well, it's only 3 seconds.
Well, yeah.
You have 1 second for the beginning. 2 seconds is the middle.
Second is the middle. The third second is the end. Yeah.
So there's a debate here.
I think it starts in the second.
Okay.
And then ends in the third. Third.
Right. Second.
We're going to play it one more time, Brad. Hmm. You know what, though? I found a new. I didn't realize that this toy had this, but I'm gonna bring it up anyways. Because we were messing with. Remember how we were messing with this on Monday, Doug?
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring this thing up too.
Oh, and you're gonna.
Yeah.
It
what
now.
We're gonna do? We're gonna slow this thing down here on the air. If that's cool with you, Brad. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm gonna put it to the other thingy.
Wow.
Other thingy. Technical terms abound.
Boy, it's not working now for some reason. I can't get.
I think you have to click on it, don't you?
No, it's not working.
Hmm.
I think it's too short. I think it's too short. Oh, wait. No, I got it. Slow now. Let's try it now. We're going to try it now again. Slow down. Okay, that didn't work. That didn't work at all.
I just don't hear it.
There's no volume.
Oh, you have to
try this time. Here we go.
Good idea.
Let me bring it up a little bit louder for people to listen to. Can you still hear that, Brad?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's play this one more time. That's the regular speed.
The play speed was 1.0. Just click slow again and make it.
It's not going. It's not doing anything. It's too short, I think, actually, for that little toy to work, unfortunately. So we'll save that for a later time.
Okay.
So let's play it one more time in the Winamp here that we usually use. I think it's like at the tail end of 2 seconds.
Okay.
And it actually goes. Okay. So
but it's definitely
right.
in there. And
oh, you hear
it's a voice.
It's a whisper.
It's a
whisper. Yeah. It's a whisper.
I love Johnny Cash.
It says, I love Johnny Cash?
Yes.
I was just getting Johnny Cash out.
Plain as day.
Oh, there it is. It's front loaded now, but I hear I love Johnny Cash.
Right. I mean, if you weren't front loaded, it could be like, hello, Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still two syllables, Johnny Cash.
If you
right.
could.
You guaranteed to at least hear the Johnny Cash. What it says before, you know, it could be an opinion.
Mm-hmm. And where was you said you were in this. This was recorded in this dressing room, you said, right?
This was in Elvis Presley's dressing room, and other stores other than Elvis also had Johnny Cash. Hank Williams Sr. had performed there, and several other famous people at that time. That's where the Louisiana Hayride used to be in the years ago.
Oh, okay. That's very cool. Did you get any other EVPs from this location? Because we can go through those, too, if you'd like to.
I believe that's it as far as our EVPs from that one that I sent you.
Well, you know, one thing I do want to ask you before we do play any more of this stuff, being from Louisiana, I mean, like we said before here at the beginning of this half hour, I'm sure you guys, but how would I put this? I'm sure you guys don't have any shortage of haunted areas in Louisiana, which, based on that, I'm curious of what your, as far as you, would consider, like, the most notable areas in Louisiana, as far as the state's concerned. I mean, that's probably a large area.
So
but.
If we were about to head down there, which we will eventually, as you know.
We're going to.
Right.
Where would we hit? What would be the most attractive spots for us to hit?
Without a doubt, your biggest hotbed on the whole state is the New Orleans area.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Even just the French. French Quarters. The French Quarters itself probably has more activity than several states combined. That's how much it's so centralized, just so concentrated. It's unreal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad that we haven't got more area investigations in that area that we'd like to. It's so common over there. It does catch people's attention to, you know, try to get a place and, you know, can we get in this place to try to record activity. To them, it's, you know, it's no big deal. They have it so often.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, I was going to say that. I mean, I'm sure people there, you know, whereas here in Michigan, I mean, yeah, we have our ghost ships and stuff like that out in the water. But a haunted house, I think, in Michigan, like Detroit, Michigan,
they're fairly rare.
They're fairly rare as opposed to, you know, Louisiana. You know, most notably, you just said New Orleans. I'm sure a haunted house in New Orleans as opposed to a haunted house in Detroit, there's
right.
It's more right. of a common thing.
If you go by concentration levels or, you know, houses per square mile.
Again, my old analogy, it's like living by the airport. After a while, you just get used to
HHP.
It, right?
But it's not necessarily, though.
What's
it
that?
It could just be that it's more readily acceptable and open.
And noticed?
In New Orleans.
Okay,
then
it is
attention.
Here. People are more private and not wanting to believe in that sort of thing here.
That's a good point.
True. And the culture down there in that area, the culture, I mean, there's a lot of the...
voodoo, run from my magic.
Well, thank you for the voodoo.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to generalize, but that's when you think of Louisiana and places like
you think of
voodoo and
you
things
think
like
of,
that.
Yeah, exactly. So how does that play a role in the hauntings of the area and your investigations? Do you do anything, any analysis in regard to the rich history of that area?
Yeah, definitely. That's what I said. If anything, you may not catch a ghost, but you get great history lessons doing these things.
Oh, yeah. Anywhere you go.
I know you were saying earlier about they're more open to it around here. Well, that's due to, like you said, the voodoo and the old days Catholicism. Just they acknowledged it more. You know, our old grandparents, you know, to them it was nothing. Oh, this house down the road, it's haunted, you know. And I guess that's why it's more readily accessible than maybe the northern states, and it's a different type of personality.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm wondering where that comes from, though, too. I mean, I'm not asking you this, Brad, but that's an interesting idea, though. I think it's pretty obvious now, just from some simple deduction, that people here in Michigan, they're much more tight in the butt than people are in New Orleans. Well, we knew that before. You know,
it's a societal thing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
A regional societal phenomena.
Because we're both by water.
Right.
So we have to X that thing out.
Right.
And so the water has nothing to do with it.
But we don't have the French and Jamaican and we don't have that.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, our own mixture of heritage.
Scandinavian. Yeah, there's a lot of Scandinavian. Well, up UP. UP's more Scandinavian.
Yeah, I think so.
Which I think is a bit different. Yeah, so that probably is just the culture itself. Like you guys said, it's societal. You have these different cultures coming together. Like voodoo, we mentioned, that's a Jamaican influence.
Right. And I believe we're probably an older settlement, perhaps, than the Michigan area. But I know years ago, especially the New Orleans area, the thieves, the crooks, the lower class of society were pretty much sent down, you know, booted out of their areas and kind of just all sent in the New Orleans area. So years ago, you had much more violence, much more.
I think they're all in Detroit now.
Yeah, they moved them all north here. Yeah.
No, they're still in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
The hurricane didn't keep them out for long.
Well, I mean, could that be another reason, though, too? I mean, we're not trying to grill on you and quiz you or anything like that. We're just thinking out loud here also. I mean, and, you know, if you have any input, of course, it's totally cool. But I'm wondering also is, like, yeah, maybe that is part of the reason, too, is that there, you know, there this was at one time where a lot of people were sent.
Nope,
they were
no
kind
doubt.
Of penalized and sent down there, and they, yeah, I mean,
or ended up there.
Ended up there.
There was Rogue's Hollow
mm-hmm.
in Ohio.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, they just ended up there. If you needed to hide from mm-hmm. authorities or people or whatever, you would go to Rogue's Hollow. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it was a pretty tough place. Same thing with New Orleans, only down that was further south, much further south yeah. from Rogue's Hollow.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe that is part of the reason, though, too, like I was saying, is that there was maybe some more violence. You have these emotional people that are either, A, angry, stressed out. I mean, they're trying to survive, more or less, just on survival's terms. That might be part of just the whole emotional thing of New Orleans in general, let's just say, right. specifically. That could have been part of the reason, too. Because we always hear all these crazy stories right. about, you know.
Well, and Brad, one of the things, and I've asked people, and I've actually had people on the show tell me that that's invalid. But it's not invalid, I don't think. I ask people this all the time because I'm really interested in the answer, not mm-hmm. because I'm, you know, doing a, three. what three most haunted cities in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And invariably, and they flip-flop back and forth in my list every so often, but invariably, one of those three that I mention is, based on just the number of stories that I hear, is New Orleans.
No doubt.
So, I mean, it moves from 1 to 2 to 3 to 2 to 1 to 3 to 1. Yeah, I mean, it bounces around, but mm-hmm. but it is one of them, and all the time. The other two, Savannah and Gettysburg, but mm-hmm. Savannah, Georgia,
yeah,
and Gettysburg. But so New Orleans is always in there. There's got to be a reason why I think New Orleans is so haunted, and it's because of all of the stories that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also an attraction. So a lot of people from all over the country go to New Orleans. Of course, they usually go there for the Mardi Gras or the, you know, the different kinds of things. They don't usually...
Yeah.
Although my friends now go there for the, you know, ooh, it's haunted, or I'm yeah. going.
But new open container law.
We just happen to go during Mardi Gras, though. Right. We're going to go ghost hunting in New Orleans during Mardi Gras.
Yeah. Wee! There won't be hardly anyone there. And but yeah, the so people go there and they bring back the stories that they hear. And so it has permeated our culture. You know, it has. Even I have heard stories from people. Oh, I was down there, and the bartender said, "You know, watch out for old fisheye or something." And you know, I just made that up.
Yeah.
But there's a story. Everybody brings back a story.
Oh, my name is Fisheye. The Legend of Fisheye by Doug.
Continue.
Can you do that again?
That's your first book, right there, dude.
Fisheye.
The Legend of Fisheye.
The legend of
a fish that haunts the New Orleans area.
No, I was thinking of a guy with this perfectly round eye.
So it looks like a squid. He looks like a squid
cow.
Then, kind of.
Squid eye.
He looks like the side of a squid, because the squid obviously has two
eyes. I'll get on horn with my publisher and see what we can do.
Or you could do something like Maud, the 60-year-old deceased prostitute spirit that raised the red light district of New Orleans.
Well, that'll permeate a lot of markets, too.
The one that... she
I'm trying to say penetrate a lot of markets, too.
But I'm pumped.
Boy, look at me. I'm on fire today.
Bad.
Sorry. All right.
Bad,
okay.
Bad.
Is Brad still there? Or is he hung up yet?
I don't know why.
Right, I'm shutting up. Go ahead.
In addition to that, you also have the numerous plantations. And like I've read in several books, no reputable plantation doesn't have spirits,
mm-hmm.
and we have tons around here. Everywhere from the base of New Orleans all the way up to northern Louisiana is just full of plantations, all along River Road and Vacherie mm-hmm. and Baton Rouge.
And the most famous of that, of course, has got to be the Myrtles Plantation.
Yeah, Myrtles Plantation.
Yes.
Have you been there?
We have been there. We've never conducted a full investigation. They're pretty strict on that. They like to see money in exchange to be allowed in there.
Mm. Oh, I don't know. I saw on TV that they just ring them up and say, "Hey, we need some help."
Oh, all right. He's kidding, Brad.
I am kidding.
You can take tours of the place, but to as far as getting the whole house to yourself, if you don't rent it out yourself, then you're not just gonna. And even so, if you rent out the whole house, parts of it are locked up and. Motion sensors, and you can't just have the run of the mill and run wire. So we've looked into other plantations, and we've accessed a few. One of our favorites, probably the second most famous in Louisiana, is Oak Alley in Vacherie.
Ooh, that's a – why don't we – let's stop right there.
Okay.
I want to discuss that.
Well, there's two things.
Yeah,
first of all, that reference that I just made – it was of course about our friends at Taz.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
And that's
I'm
one.
Sure, they'll play the same thing.
And they're gonna call me up tonight. But no,
what are you doing again, Doug?
What happens is it's one of the scenes that actually has has caused a bit of a lot of, you know, chuckles because mm-hmm. as I think it's Donna is talking on the phone
mm-hmm.
In the background on the wall,
yeah.
there's like a marker board,
mm-hmm.
and they've got the dates, and it says Myrtle's Plantation, mm-hmm. yet she was supposedly taking the phone call to schedule their...
Never noticed that.
So it's a blooper kind of thing, and that's why I mentioned it. I apologize for that. The other thing I want to mention is that during our breaks, we play independent music.
Ooh, yeah.
These are all independent bands.
And this is so rad. I have to talk like a surfer for a second because this is so rad. No, because I talked to my buddy Jeff Uberti, a good friend of mine. I grew up with this guy. And he's on the Big M.
Yep.
A lot of the Big M has become haven to like every music band on the planet we know. But it also has become haven to a lot of bands that are just like deceased. Sort of say they're broken up and they're done. But these guys are still going back and putting up their little web pages for them on the
Big M. Right, I don't blame them.
And they're putting music up for people to, hey, this is what we used to do. It was a good time. Check out some tunes, right? Well, my buddy Jeff Uberti used to play in a band called World of Hurt, which I'm sure I've mentioned to you before.
Oh, yeah.
He presently plays in a band called Left and Ruined, which we've played their music here before also.
Yeah.
But I saw him put up a page on that Big M, and I'm like, Jeff, you want me to play a World of Hurt tune, you know, on the show? He's like, oh, absolutely. So the song I picked out is like my favorite World of Hurt tune, actually.
Excellent.
So for this commercial, we're going to play a World of Hurt song. So why don't we do that? I think you guys will enjoy this tune. World of Hurt, Perception-y. This
all independent music on Ghostly Talk all the time, and I hope it helps you experience things you may not listen to normally.
Oh, yeah,
and,
totally,
and just enjoy independent music for, you know, for what it's worth. Thank
more
you.
Talk about Louisiana spirits
coming up after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Hi, this is Ross Alf and with a ghost at aghost.us, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk Radio.
Don't be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night. Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Phantom Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing guests that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. Then let's have some fun! We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajuns. And some other guys, too. This is no kids show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.laghosts.com. That's www.laghost.com.
Hi, this is William Constantine, world-renowned psychic medium. Check out my website at www.williamconstantine.com. In the meantime, return to listening to Ghostly Talk Radio.
Champion Detroit Tigers.
And also birthplace of Old Fish Eye.
Don't you hate people like that? They have no idea about baseball for the whole year. And now I'm seeing Old English D's everywhere. I kid you not.
You know,
hilarious.
It's just like me. I mean, the only football game I watch is the
Super Bowl one.
And that's it. I know nothing about it.
Yeah, there's a difference between watching just the Super Bowl and being a bandwagon Detroit fan.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm not. I never have been.
I don't know whether to be or not, so I just ignore it until something happens.
I'm not. I only care about the Red Wings.
I hear Tigers, and I don't think no one else but LSU, so I don't think there's no other Tigers that exist.
I just want to be cool like everybody else in Detroit and hang a Red Wings flag out of my window. Because everybody has these little flags hanging out their window. Everybody has to hang out their $90,000 SUV. There's a big flag.
But you have a Shanahan shirt. So.
Yes, I do. He's not a Red Wing anymore, though.
We're talking.
This is Sports Chat with Doug and Shanahan.
I was trying to segue back, but there's no possible way, so we're going to just cut that.
All right, we're going to move on.
We are talking with
Brad
Duplichet.
You just got your new nickname.
Oops. We're talking with Brad Duplichet of Louisiana Spirits. Their website is www.laspirits.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, Brad, we were talking about plantations, haunted plantations, no plantation, what was it? No respectable plantation would not have a ghost. Right. So of course, the most famous is the Myrtles,
mm-hmm.
and people have stayed there. People have it's been on TV, it's been written about in books. That's where Catherine Ramflin stayed
mm-hmm.
for her ghost hunting book.
Oh yeah.
What about some? Have some others really, really wowed you in your group?
Yeah, like I said, Oak Alley was one of our first ones we did. It's a beautiful place. It's where Interview with the Vampire was filmed, the majority of it. And other movies like Primary Colors, North and South, some television shows have been filmed there, numerous books, and it's just noted for its the huge, massive 200-300-year-old oak tree that's formed like a tunnel down the walkway to the house. And we did several investigations there and came up with some pretty good evidence, several good EVPs from there.
Can people stay there overnight? Can you rent a room? Is it like that?
You can't stay in the main house, but there's some cottages on the property you can stay in.
Mm-hmm. Do they let you walk around on the grounds late at night with cameras and stuff?
Or do they get annoyed with that?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think there's a certain limit you have, but I'm pretty sure you can go pretty late
mm-hmm.
and just walk the grounds. The grounds are massive.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned something, and this is more the quench of my curiosity. You mentioned a 300-year-old oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, it wasn't 100% clear to me, it forms a tunnel of
sense? That's just like at Bragg Road where they grow into
and
each other.
Right. Well, this is multiple trees then, right? Is it just
if you go to our website and click investigations, you can see some pictures of Oak Alley.
Okay.
And they were actually planted, I believe, 100 years prior to the house even being built.
Oh, wow.
And they planted it somewhere between 20 to 30 oak trees, and they're all just lined up. And it just forms almost, like I said, a tunnel. And then at the end of it is the house. It's beautiful looking through this breezeway of trees.
Well, that's the first time I've ever heard a house being built around the actual trees. It's usually the other way around. You either
right.
build a house out of the trees, or you build the trees around the house.
But right? In this case, these trees were planted 100 years before, and they're like, wow.
Well, they're oak trees, too, and I can imagine how much fun they'd be to try to bring them down also.
Well, yeah.
It's an oak tree.
If you want to see pictures, laspirits.com.
Definitely check that out. Any other places that you've been to? As far as plantations are concerned, have you guys ever visited any other plantations down there?
Yes, we've also done Joseph Jefferson Mansion in Rip Van Winkle Gardens in New Iberia. It's it was originally checked out to film the movie The Skeleton Key.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they thought it was too elaborate, so they moved on to Albania Plantation. But it's also a beautiful place. It's on a massive plot of land, probably bigger than Oak Alley. It has beautiful gardens, peacocks running loose. And it had rumored to be haunted and have activity. No group had gone investigated, so we were also the first group to investigate that one, as
mm-hmm.
with Oak Alley.
Mm-hmm.
And it has no reported deaths on the grounds or anything. It just had tons of history behind the place. It used to be, they had a massive 11-acre lake, Lake Pinier, on the grounds. And when they were drilling for oil, they struck a salt mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused, it started dissolving the salt, and it drained the entire 11-acre lake in 3 hours, I believe.
You're kidding me.
Caused a 50-foot whirlpool that just sucked the entire thing with the rigs and everything down this massive hole.
Oh, wow. They actually, you said they struck a salt mine when they did that, and that's what sucked it all
right,
out, right?
As they were drilling for oil, they struck the salt mine. It drained the entire lake.
Oh, my goodness. Now, at least, without me...
May have been in the early 80s, buried treasure was found supposedly from Jean Lafitte.
Mm-hmm.
They found some buried treasure on the grounds. And numerous, tons of reported history has taken place there.
And is this another one of those places, could you stay in this place? Are you allowed to stay at this place? That area around there?
Right. That's what Oak Alley there is. Servant quarters you can stay in overnight, not in the main house.
Mm-hmm. So we can stay there too, Doug, if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can start setting this up this week.
All right.
You can start laying everything up.
I'll get my credit card out.
Get it all paid for and all that good stuff. Doug is our financial guy now.
as far as plantations where you can actually stay in the building that mm-hmm. have suspected activity, like I said, you have the Myrtles, you have Tifres and Lafayette. That's a very good place.
Mm hmm.
Judge Porter House in Natchitoches, Louisiana, mm-hmm. that you can stay on in the property,
mm-hmm.
in the home.
Well, I want to, yeah, what I want to talk about now, though, is what experiences you've had, Brad. We haven't talked about this yet. And whenever we have a ghost hunter on,
that's the kind of stuff that I usually ask. That's very interesting.
Well, because
yeah,
it's
like
Ghost
that.
Month, and you're rubbing off on me, Doug.
Yes, I guess I am.
And as I'm rubbing off on you, I've seen you begin more and more cranky as the month.
I am.
And it's
I am
not
very,
fun
very
to
cranky.
Watch.
So
yeah,
seriously,
Brad, what's up?
Tell us about the things that you've seen and experienced. What in your investigations and probably outside of your investigations, what kinds of things have really stands out in your mind as being, wow, this was something to me.
Well, that's the bad thing, because I don't know if it's either from being such a skeptic or just that I have the worst look for a ghost hunter in the world, but I have not seen something that literally just sits and kicks me back to say, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've had things happen, you know, the smells, the off equilibrium in rooms. One in particular that stood out, I was, me and one investigator, we were in a home that we were sitting perfectly still against the wall. No one else was in the home. And you could hear almost like some chatter down the hallway. And it was an older home off the ground on cement blocks. And you could feel the vibrations as someone was walking down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't move. We stayed there. And the footsteps, the vibrations got harder, and you could still hear the chatter. And just when it felt, you got that feeling like someone was right on you, I snapped a picture, and you can see like this large shadow mass right in front of me.
Ooh.
Something
wow.
like that was pretty interesting. One, we did a seminar prior to the one at the auditorium at a restaurant that has suspected activity. And while we were sitting there, you know, normally people reported seeing shadows in the corner of their eyes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
This I was looking dead on, and I saw a small, about a 5 foot tall black figure just move left to right across the dining area. I didn't say anything to anyone else. I got up and I walked off to go look, thinking maybe another investigator was in that area. No one was there.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, my other investigator that was sitting next to me, he got up and came to me, and I still didn't say anything. And he said, "Did you see that?" I said, "What?" He said, "That black figure that moved from left to right."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Yeah, that's exactly what I thought." So our stories kind of matched without saying anything, so it kind of added some validity to it.
Well, yeah, you guys both saw the same thing. Exactly.
Right.
And that always helps.
As far as what got me into it, I never had any true experience like a lot of our members. Some lived in houses that were haunted. Others saw full apparitions. That's what got them into it. I was just always so interested in it. I had heard stories from my parents and grandparents, and just it always fascinated me, so I was kind of determined, to see what's out there, and that's why I've always kind of got it into this hobby.
Well, you know, I have to concur with you on that, too, Brad. I mean, I have not... I have to say, I think I've seen some pretty convincing things, but I still am going to go, okay, there's got to be something logical that may be a part of this,
right,
or maybe the cause of this. Who knows? I think that somebody who lived in the area you live in, you may have seen more things, but that's okay. I mean, there's a lot of people that are skeptical out there, and you need those type of people, an open-minded skeptic, let's say.
Right. And I like to, not be prone, because Dr. Rourke says, if you're prone to magical thinking.
Oh, well, yeah.
And that could happen.
That's more of a colorful way of us saying, hey, if you want to see ghosts, you'll see ghosts.
Exactly.
That's all that really is.
What about Todd, Brandon, and Mark? Have they come to you during an investigation or afterwards and said, oh, my gosh, there were ghosts everywhere? I mean, have they had any wild experiences that they've related to you?
Like I said, they're pretty on the same skeptical terms as me. Brandon, he was the one that he actually lived in a house of activity, so he knew where that was coming from. Todd, when he was younger, he had seen who he believes was his grandmother,
mm-hmm,
almost in a full-bodied form.
Oh, wow.
Mark has seen something he couldn't explain on a bridge down in Lafayette area that's known for activities. Lots of people go park there at night and supposedly they see what they call the woman in white. And when they was fixing for him to leave, he saw this huge orange ball of light, maybe basketball size, just a few feet from him, just move from one side of the bridge to the other.
Well, thinking about this, though, too, as far as the area that, L.A. Spirits is in, right? Maybe you need to be a real hardcore skeptic. Because, look at all the stories that have happened there, right? Look at all the stories that people have related to us from there. Look at all the
right.
people, all the, the specialists you know. Maybe the group like that you guys have, for example, Brad, maybe you guys need to be ultra skeptic like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that may be a tool you guys need even more than the rest of us do for an area that's so notoriously haunted.
Right.
That might be a plus for you guys as opposed to some, being a skeptic, in my opinion, is never a minus as long as you're open-minded. That's the most important thing. But for your area, we both know that there's just so many stories, story upon story, especially New Orleans.
Right.
Go ahead, Doug. Right. And you guys do seminars. You've talked about
a couple of them.
What kinds of people come to the seminars, and how do they receive your presentations?
Well, as far as the ones we've done, a majority of them, I'm surprised. I was expecting more of the younger crowd. And even the goth crowd, I'm sure y'all run into a lot of those.
Oh, yeah.
But, we've got a majority of them are the middle-aged, and even the older group, the late 30s to 50s age range.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem pretty receptive to everything, and then normally after everyone, they'll come talk to us, and some will have anybody, they'll always have stories to tell us. Even those that when you first bring up the topic of what you do as a hobby, they kind of laugh it off, but then as they feel more comfortable with you, just about everyone will always have a story. Well, this happened to me before, and then it goes on from there.
I'm going to back that up, too, because, I know both of us, Doug, in our travels, I've met several couples, men, women, whoever, who are retired now, for example. They're retired people who, and I'm like, you're retired now. That's pretty cool. Well, yeah, and that's why, I need something to do here. I needed a hobby, kind of, so I got into this stuff. So, yeah, at first, like you said, Brad, a few years ago when we started really mixing it up with people, I expected to be, surrounded by nothing but younger people from the alternative crowd, so to say. But the more we do this, the more, everyday people I meet who are, just, regular going to jobs, going to doing their work and stuff like that. Not particularly people that have like this morbid curiosity of death, like people want to like label this thing as, right?
Right, and that's probably because of their age. They probably had experiences before.
Yeah, and with all the stuff, the hustle and bustle of life going on, you couldn't stop and pay attention to that. But once you have the time, let's explore this a little bit. I have the time. I have the money. Let's go out and check this thing out. So I have met a lot of people, like retired couples, people that are older that are out doing this thing, which I commend them for that. It's very cool to see that, even the people in the older crowd.
How often do you do your seminars?
Well, this was only actually our second one. We did one about 2 months ago at a restaurant, smaller one called Dinner and a Ghost. This one our large one in Shreveport. We've been invited to be a guest at the Jefferson Convention in Jefferson, Texas in March. So I'm wanting to do at least one more in the meantime to kind of get the nervous jitters out of us and get more comfortable to the public speaking and all. We may do another one at the restaurant. I know the auditorium has definitely wanted to do more seminars to help their tourism and they wanted to do one at least maybe like once every 3 months. I'm working on a great investigation down in DeRidder, Louisiana. It's a Gothic-style jail. It's one of the only Gothic-style jails in America.
Ooh.
It's the site of the last, quote-unquote, legal hanging in the state. And it's a beautiful place. It looks nothing like a jail. The only thing that makes you think it's a jail are the bars on the windows.
Mm-hmm.
It's four stories, has underground tunnels that connect to the courthouse, has a spiral staircase in the middle that leads up to the rotunda where they would actually hang the inmates from the center, and you would look straight down four stories and you would see them hanging.
Oh, that's so lovely.
And it's...
Yikes.
Get some drippings there on the floor. But like the... This one's similar to the auditorium one because no one's ever investigated. No one's ever brought up accusations of being haunted. We've heard a few stories, but no one's had proof of anything. So we're hoping to go in and maybe find something, as we did with auditorium, because their tourism level is pretty low in that area, and they're wanting to maybe get some tours going and seminars. So we're hoping, we're crossing our fingers to find something.
Well, as far as the jitters are concerned, Brett, I would suggest doing this if you guys want to I understand. I mean, I don't know, doing this stuff now, we've been doing this radio show for so long with people. Hey, you guys want to come speak in front of like 4,000 people or whatever? We're like, yeah, all right.
Yeah,
we don't need to go anymore. Start up your own podcast. So I tell everybody, start up your own podcast down there. Do a weekly podcast or do like a weekly show like we do. And you do that for a couple of weeks, you'll basically, I mean, that's what I've learned. I mean,
yeah, once you can learn to talk to, talk to a microphone and talk to, it really helps.
Yeah, that may be something you guys could explore. Because I would love to, hear like a weekly Louisiana ghost podcast. That would be really cool, So.
Yeah, we actually do one with Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Myself and Paul Wing, we co-host the Paranormal Broadcast
System. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul Wing's actually emailed us a couple of times.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Paul Wing's so much fun, too. And I mean, I knew that already. But no, I'm saying Paul Wing, actually, I love Paul Wing because he emails us. And every time he emails me, the subject heading of his email is always, "Your show sucks." So, of course, I open that before anything else, right?
Right.
And he's like, "No, it doesn't really. I love your guys' show. I'm just saying hi. It's Paul Wing here from Louisiana." I'm like, "Jerk off, I hate you." No, you guys do have this. You guys are doing this podcast. And that's the one thing. I mean, you guys keep doing that. Aside from it being a lot of fun, right, it also breaks down those kind of barriers. After a while, you're just like, okay, I'll talk to these people. It's cool.
Yeah,
it's
always been easy to talk on a phone or on a mic, but it's just when you stand up, then you see 600 people staring back at you with no expression on their face. That's when it changes the mood just a bit.
Think of them like they're naked, dude. You'll be just fine.
Everybody always says that. That does not work for me.
Works great for me.
I laugh.
Really?
Oh, it works great for me.
Well, not if your audience are like in their 50s.
Yeah, that'd be kind of like, let me turn around here and vomit before I start.
Think of them as if you're naked.
I'd be like, No,
I'd be running away.
I don't even know which scenario would
that
be.
That doesn't
worse.
Work for me. I just look at look out and I try to make sure that I see I try to look at every single person in the audience eventually.
I think we just do the same thing. I mean, as far as our talks go, we tell people like if you listen to the show before,
we have a blast.
Yeah, if you listen to the show before, you're going to hear the same crap you've heard on the show. Basically, we tell people it's the same thing. We don't plan for it. We plan for it, but I mean, we plan by getting there physically.
Yeah.
That's about as much planning as we put
into it. We make the hotel reservation and get there.
Yeah, we get there. But as far as like, the content goes, we just like, okay, let's just go for it.
I mean, a lot of fun.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun. That's the way to do it. And you know what? I know you guys are having a great time down there in Louisiana, Brad. We need to thank you for coming on the show, too.
Oh, no problem. It was an honor. I'd love to be back.
When we hooked up on this thing, I was really excited, especially for Ghost Month here, to have someone like yourself come on. We've always wanted to speak to someone from Louisiana.
And I've learned a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
The plantations, the New Orleans stuff. I this is exactly what I'd hoped to get to learn.
Anytime, I know you showed interest in coming down to Louisiana and tell me I want. We'll open up an investigation for you.
We would be nothing less than honored, I believe, to work with you guys,
exactly.
Too. Brad, hang on the line. We're going to go to break here. Hang on the line for 1 second.
And don't forget, everybody, it's www.laspirits.com. That's Louisiana Spirits, so laspirits.com.
Definitely check those guys out. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
Right after this break. Oh, we're going to have some fun here the next hour.
Oh, yeah.
You just go to the site and look. I don't feel like talking about it. Guys, we'll be right back. Take it easy. We'll be right back. Thank you again, Brad, for being on the show.
Thank you.